Torreway, North West London, Wednesday the 13th of November, Yud Kislev, Rabbi David Katz, The Ethics of Honouring Verbal Commitments.
Good morning. For most people, when they sign a contract, they know that I've signed it on the dotted line, and now I have to do what I've said I'm going to do. Yet when it comes to making a verbal commitment, for many, they feel I've only said, I think it was Prime Minister Yitzhak Shamir in Eretz Yisrael who once said, he said in Hebrew, he said, "Iftachti, avalo iftachti lekayem," which means in loose translation, I promised, but I didn't promise to fulfill. So people do have this tendency to say, I only said, how much does this oblige me to actually going and doing it? There's a very famous case in America, of a very famous, it was famous because of the people involved. It was a famous rap singer, I think he was, who lost his computer in Germany, in Cologne. And on his computer, he had all his intellectual information. It was a certain album that he was working on, he was going to produce. And he came out and he said, if anyone finds my computer, I will give a $20,000 prize. And then he upped it to up to $1 million. And eventually somebody, a garage owner in Germany, found the computer. He sent it to America. And when this music mogul is searching his computer, turns out that the hard drive was scratched and the music wasn't in act. Basically, he said, I don't want to pay. He said, because I was offering a prize for my intellectual property, not for the physical computer. And he went to the high courts in America. And in the end, bottom line, they said he has to pay. Because he advertised on YouTube, etc. It was a public declaration. He said, and you say, you have to fulfill what you say. The question that arises, Lemoshal, I had a question. Somebody from my community actually sent me a question. And he said a very simple question, which I'm sure arises by many people. And the question was, his daughter's performing in a certain music concert. And she said to him, Daddy, will you come? And he said, yes, I'll make a commitment, I'm going to come. Later on, he was on the road traveling in his business. And his boss called him up and said, listen, I need you to stay on the road for another 3 days. He looks at his diary and it's booked the day when he promised his daughter he's going to come back to listen to her concert. So his question was, he says to me, Rabbi, on the one hand, I committed. On the other hand, it wasn't like a commitment of all costs, I will be there. She said, will you come? I'm going to try and come. But my boss on the other hand is pushing me and saying, business, work, you have to stay. What do I do? Is it a commitment that I need to follow? So on the one hand, if we follow the logic which we said before, if you made a commitment, you have to do it. Yet in most people's minds, no, I don't need to. I made a commitment, but still, work is more important. So where do we draw the line? So before we actually go to halacha, and we discuss what does halacha say, I just want to mention and say that honoring verbal commitments is a very real thing. It happens to all of us and we don't even perhaps notice. For example, there's certain lawyers that they do what's called pro bono hours, where they go and they do voluntary hours in communities, in institutions. So say a lawyer commits and says, I'll come to a certain community and I'll help for a few hours. Then they get paid work, so they want to renege. Are they allowed to? Or they've made a commitment. Let's say you go to buy a watch, and you go to a jewelry shop, and you find a nice watch, and you say to the owner, I am going to buy this watch. You made a commitment. Lemaisa, the next day, the price of silver drops, so now the watch is worth much less. So you come to him, you say, you know, yes, I said I'm going to buy it, but I'm going to have to be meshugga to buy it. Now it's worth £100 less. Do you have to buy it because you've committed, or I haven't made an exchange? I haven't done any kinyan, I haven't done any maisa, I didn't give you any money, I didn't sign, I only made a verbal commitment. Do I need to do it?
What? To buy
the watch? To buy the watch. To buy the watch.
But you didn't pay the price.
I didn't pay. But I made a commitment to buy it at this price. That was the price and I made the commitment to buy it. The same thing, like people go to see houses to rent. And they say to the owner, to the landlord, to the engineer, I'm going to rent it. And then the next day they decide, you know, they have a mishigas, I don't want to do it. They haven't signed the contract. Oh, but I said I'm going to do it. Do I need to do it? Because I've said, does that oblige me? Now, that's it. Is it the exact same as if I've signed? Somebody says to you, you know what, I'm moving house. Do you mind next Tuesday, 8 o'clock, come and help me schlep the boxes? You say yes, you commit. Tachlis comes Tuesday the next week, and you're tired, you don't want to go. Are you allowed to say, yes, I made a commitment, but now I don't want to go? Is it because I said, that's it, you have to go, finish? There's no way out, there's no leeway? What is the halacha? People make a donation in shul. They commit verbally to give a donation. Can a person say,
yes, I promised I'm going to give £100, but at the time I thought money's coming from certain places, now it's not coming. I want to say I don't want to give the money. I only said I'm giving the money, now I'm saying I'm not giving the money. How does it work? So, the law of the land says as follows, and we'll compare halakha to the law of the land, which is an important thing for people to know in business, etc. too. The law of the land says that a verbal commitment is a commitment, and a verbal contract is a contract. And it's very simple why that has to be. In order for society to manage normally, when somebody makes a commitment, I need to know that this commitment is going to be honored. Otherwise, there's no, every discussion is going to be a bargain, and every, I can't believe we can't commerce. It's impossible. And therefore the law of the land says it is a contract. The question is, prove it. Exactly. So therefore, what does the law say? How do we prove it? There are three stipulations, there's three conditions in order for a verbal commitment to be enacted. Number one, has to be offer and acceptance. Offer and acceptance means that I am offering to give something, and in return I will get something back. I will accept. Just the fact that I say I'm going to give is not enough. I have to offer something, and I have to get something in return. Number two, there has to be consideration. What is consideration? There has to be the details that a person consider of what I'm getting, the details of the deal that we're going to do. And number three, there has to be an intention to enter into legal relations. Which means that when I'm making the deal with you, I have to have in mind that the fact that I'm making this contract, this commitment, is going to be bound by legal law. Like, so if I say to you, I'm going to put the books back here, and you'll give me £5 for it, and then I say I don't want to do it, when I said I'm going to do it, my intention was, it's clear to everyone, that if I don't do it, you're not going to take me to police. Very simple. That is the law of the land. And therefore, when we came to the first case of this music mogul who lost his computer, the judge said very simple. There was offer and acceptance, because he's giving the computer, and in return he's giving money. They're both getting something. There's consideration, we know the details, we know the amount. And the fact that he publicized on YouTube, Kval Am Ve'eda, shows that he had the intention to enter into legal relations, and therefore he has to pay up. Mashahenkin, with the story, with this man who asked him about his daughter, according to the law, would be very simple. There was no offer and acceptance. Why? Because the father is only offering to come and listen to the concert, but he's not receiving anything in return. And Afilu you argue and you say, Naches, which is not a tangible thing, what's for sure is that the father was not no intention to enter into legal relations, that his daughter should take him to court, and that's a simple thing. You don't need to have the best lawyer to prove such a thing. That's why, for example, if a husband and wife have a heskem, they have an agreement, I work, you wash the dishes, for example, and she doesn't do it, he can't take it to court because she had no intention to enter into legal relations. Very simple. This is the law of the land. The shaila is, what does halacha say? Does halacha agree with these three rules? Is it exactly the same thing? Does it have to be these three conditions in order for a verbal commitment to be taifas? So, I turn your attention to the Rambam, which is in Mishneh Torah, Hilchas Mechira, Perek Aleph, Mishneh Aleph and Beis. And he says as follows. Very interesting Rambam. I'll read in Hebrew, I'm sure everyone understands. He says, HaMekach Einoi Nikna B'dvorim. You don't understand. A deal is not done, a transaction, a deal, a commitment, is not made with words. Even if we bring Edim and we say, you be Edim, you witness that we're making a deal. And the Rambam then goes to give an example. Offer and acceptance. Here's a deal. I'm buying, selling you a house. I'm giving you wine. They decided the amount of money. The buyer says, I bought it. The seller is happy to sell. They called witness. Be witnesses. Can you have anything better than that? There's YouTube. It's on the camera. Says the Rambam. It's not toifis. It's as if nothing ever happened between them. If there has been a kinyan, Ma'advarim shul niknabah, and we know that there's five kinyanim which the Gemara enumerates, Meshich, Hagbah, Khalif, and such, we're not going to go. But if a person does a kinyan, says the Rambam, Kona leikeach vein tzrichim veidim klal vein echad mehem yochel lachzer. If one has done a kinyan, that's it, the deal is done and dusted, and one can never renege. So what we see over here, straight from the beginning, that the Rambam, which is halacha, is totally different to the law of the land. In halacha, there is no such thing as a verbal commitment. Yishtukin azazach, even with offer and acceptance, and even with a person, he has all the details are there. If you haven't done a kinyan, it doesn't toifas. The shaila is, soi bazoi, according to halacha, if I want to do a kinyan, a verbal kinyan, how do I do it? If I want to have something without a kinyan, I don't have a chayfas, I want to do mishicha. I don't have something, I want to make a commitment verbally. How do we do it? That's maybe in the jewelry, in the diamond and jewelry, because that's an accepted kinyan.
It's
ah? No, a kiyaskav is not a kinyan. In the jewelry business, I'm not going to go in there. Halacha says, I don't want to discuss kinyanim today. There's something which is accepted by the whole, everyone knows that this is the way you do business and it's a kinyan. Oh, but that's not over here. It's very simple. Halacha says, if a person wants to make a verbal commitment, what do you do? You do what's called kinyan agav sudar, which I'm sure you've all seen it when you come to an engagement. What's going on over there? There is a verbal commitment. Our children are getting married. I need to order a band. I need to order a hall. I need to order flowers. This is going to cost me money. If I cancel, it's going to cost me. I need a commitment over it. So just you saying that you're going to do it, it's not enough. We need to do a kinyan. And therefore we pick up a sudar, and that makes a kinyan. The same thing is if two people want to go to arbitration, for example. They need to make a kinyan at the beginning that whatever the arbitrator says, they will do. If they don't make a kinyan beforehand, the person can renege and say, you know what, the arbitrator said, I'm not going to do it. You need to make a kinyan agav suda. That's what halacha demands. So lemaisa, what we see over here is that both the law of the land and halacha both agree that a person has to honor his verbal commitments. There's no shaila. The question is, how do you prove it? So the law of the land says these three conditions that we said, offer and acceptance, consideration and intention to be bound by legal action, is enough to prove. Halacha says, no, that's not enough. Halacha is even more makel, in a way. Why? Because halacha says, I need to know that the person 100% understands what he's doing. Words are not enough. There has to be action. If a person's raised his hands, he's made a kinyan, he can never say, I thought, I didn't mean, I didn't know. You did. You can't argue with actions. With words, people can argue. And therefore, halacha demands much more. So the ma'aseh, what would be, nafkemina halacha the ma'aseh would be, for example, when it comes to a present. If a person says, I promise you I'm going to give you something, and he makes a kinyan. So according to the law of the land, there's no, he can renege. Why? Because there's no offer and acceptance. I'm only giving you, I'm not accepting anything in return. Masha'ikin halacha, if you've done a kinyan, it's toifus. And you have to give them a ton. Up until here, we've seen the strict law of halacha versus the law of the land. What will a beis din versus what will a court actually implement? But here comes a fascinating thing. In halacha, it doesn't stop over here. Halacha goes much further, and we'll see there's another five levels in halacha of actually how much a person needs to fulfill his words. And here lies one of the main differences between halacha and the law of the land. There's many laws which legislators would like to pass, but they don't. For a simple reason. They can't implement it. They can't enforce it. There's certain laws that push it, simply, practically speaking, won't work. Either because it's going to cost too much money to the taxpayer, to the country, or simply there's no way that the lawman can check and see if you're doing it or not. So even if they want to pass this law, they don't. Masha'inkum ba'alocha, it's not that way. There are many alochas that they're there, and even though Beis Din won't enforce it, we still have the alocha, you're allowed, you're not allowed. Why? Because it's between Adam Lamokim, between man and Hashem, and therefore alocha tells you what to do. So alocha can extend much further. And therefore comes alocha and says as follows. Alocha says, although I just told you that in order for Beis Din to interfere, and for Beis Din to make a person fulfill his commitment, there needs to be a kinyan, nonetheless there is another alocha. And that is that when a person makes a commitment which is accompanied by maaseh, so for example, it could be a handshake, not in the jewelry business. So now I've shaken my hand. I've done something which is visual, but it's not one of the kinyanim. So it's somewhere in between. On the one hand, there is a maise, which I can't argue with. I've made the commitment accompanied by a maise. But on the other hand, the maise wasn't a kinyan, one of the famous kinyonim. What's the din? So Beis Din will not enforce you to act upon your words because there was no kinyan. But halacha says you will get what is called a mishapora. Well, I'm sure some of you have heard it. Where does it come from? It comes from the Gemara of Metzia, Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis, with what I think was Rabbi Chanan, where he said he was going to buy salt. The maise halacha came to his Rebbe and he told him, you will get a mishapora. What is mishapora? The Gemara says that it's a certain nusach, which at the beginning was just people would say mishapora. Then later on, generations, they actually made it like a malediction. They actually say to the person, you, they mention his name, they make kind of the cherem on this person, and they would say, mishapora man shidera mabul, o man shidera palogo, o man shidera vamoro, ma mitrim, hu yipora me misha eina oimid bedibura. So basically, it's a kind of curse that you will get, that Hashem, you don't want to pay, based in Confucius, Hashem will make you pay. And what's interesting is actually the Lashon. Very interesting idea. Why do we say, Mishapora, Manchidera, Mabulu, Manchidera, Palaga? Why can't we just say, you don't want to pay, Akadish Baruch Hu Yifram, Ipora Mimoch? Why do we have to mention all these nations? And the answer is simple. There's actually an interesting answer why we actually say it, a different answer. The answer is because a person might think, oh, Mishapora, it means Loilam Abba. When I go to the next world, I'll get punished. So therefore we say, no, Mishapora, Manchidera, Palogam, Dera, Mabul, they got their punishment here in this world, you'll get your punishment here in this world. But the truth is, there's a much deeper reason, and the reason is very simple. A person may ask, one second, L'chayra, why did Hashem take punish the people in Zdeim and Amor? What did they do? They had terrible relationships, etc. There was Sinaf wasn't given at the time. What about Dera, Mabul? Kimol Haaretz Chamos, they stole. Oh, but there was no Asaras HaDibros, there was no Torah, Lo Yisigna, it wasn't introduced into the world. Anoichi Hashem Aleikecha wasn't there. So how could Hashem punish Anshei Dera Palaga? How could He punish all these people? Ein Anshim Elohim Kein Mazirim. And what's the answer? Because it's obvious. There are certain things I don't need to tell you. There's certain things that a society needs to take upon themselves, even if it's not state in Torah. And that's why we say Mishapora. Just like those people got punished, even though it wasn't a letter of the law. Same to you, you've made a maaseh, and you made a commitment, okay, Beis Din can't enforce it, but you should know better. You need to know that you need to do it. That's up until today, that's the end when we have a kinyan. But, it's not B'nai Neder, it's a different thing, I'll explain in a moment. Even once it's B'nai Neder, it still doesn't help, and I'll explain. Then we have an even lesser degree of it, still halacha. And that is in a case when a person makes a verbal commitment. Oh, but there's no kinyan, there's no maaseh. Does a person need to fulfill his words? Says halacha, and it's very says halacha in Shulchan Aruch Harav, Choshen Mishpat, says as follows. Hanoiseh v'noiseh b'dvorim bilvad, if somebody just makes a verbal commitment, even if he hasn't made a kinyan, roi loy lamid b'diburoy, apa pish loy lokach ma'adomim klum. Even if there was no monetary transaction, it was just a verbal commitment, halacha, you have to do what you said. V'chol achoizer boy ben loikich v'moicher, afa pishayin echayv lekaba mishapora, even though he won't get mishapora because there was no maise, harezem mechusere amona, we don't believe this person, v'in ruach hachomim loikha imenu. The spirit of hachomim is not comfortable with such a person. And that's halacha, it's halacha in Shulchan Aruch, that a person who makes a commitment, he has to stick to his words.
So that's in conflict with Rambam.
It's not a conflict with Rambam at all. The Rambam says what a Beis Din is talking will enforce. What is, in order, if a person wants to make a verbal commitment, enforceable, there has to be a kinyan. Nonetheless, as I explained, halacha will always go further, even though Beis Din can't enforce it, there's still halacha. And halacha says that a person who makes a commitment has to stick to his commitment. And that's why, the way, the reason why we read in last week's parsha, Yaakov Avinu. Say that again. Enforceable by Beis Din. That's why, by the way, we read last week's parsha. Very an interesting concept. We find that Yaakov Avinu married sisters. Lechayra, we know that always kimu is kol ha'tera kulo atzulei kiblu. So we know you're not allowed to marry two sisters. So how did he marry? There's many terrors in, but one terrors has got strictly, it's mamash connected to what we're talking. Yaakov Avinu made a commitment to Rachel, he would marry her. a commitment, as we said, was something that people followed even before the Torah was given, because it's a menschlich thing to do. Masha'en King married two sisters, it's a chumrah that he took upon himself to keep the Torah. So when he had to wait, what's more important, to take upon my chumrah of keeping Torah versus sticking to my commitment, which a mensch has to do regardless of Torah? That's why he married her. An interesting idea. We see halacha even goes further, but just before we do, it's important to mention that we've just said that there's a halacha that if a person makes a commitment, he has to stick to it. Roy Lam of the Diburin. Is there no exceptions? What happens if I made a commitment? I can't. So halacha does bring a few exceptions. Too many to enumerate now. There's many small details, but in general, there's two general exceptions. Number one, the Gemara says in Bava Metzia Daf Memtes, "Ksheloi somche da'atayu kematon agdol." The Gemara says that if a person, the whole idea of a commitment is really dependent on the person who's accepting. Does he have in mind that this is going to be a commitment? So, for example, if I say to somebody, "I'm going to give you £1 million." He knows I don't have £1 million to give him. So, in his mind, he's not relying on it. So, therefore, I can renege. But if it's a small matana, which is something that I'm capable, then he is expecting it, and therefore I have to fulfill. So, that's one exception. When the person knows I'm hacking a cup, it's okay. Number two, it says in Sefer Mesharim, which means that if there was a radical change, then a person can change. Change his words. Say, if Marshall, I said I'm going to buy a ton of wheat, and the next day there's a tsunami or whatever happens, and suddenly in the world there's a shortage of wheat, and the price goes up triple the price. This is called a radical change, and I can say, you know what? This was not what I had in mind, and therefore I can renege. It's important to know that when there's drastic changes, it doesn't have to be price wise. A drastic change, something you didn't anticipate, a loss in the family, a drastic change. Or the person, then if there was no maise and there was no kinyan and the whole linen is only me just sticking to my words, then a person can change. To complete the topic, halacha does say as follows. Is there halacha? It's brought down in the Gemara, Baba Metzia Daf Memtes Amud Aleph, where it talks about commitments, and it says as follows: Darkei achsidim lekayem masha'im oimrim. That even if a person has a way out, as you just mentioned, if a person is a chassid, then he fulfills his words at all costs. And the Gemara goes on to say, not only your words, but even your machshavis in your heart. When a person thinks in his heart he wants to do something, he should fulfill it. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, which says, "Doiver emes bilvavoy." Lechara, what you speak in your heart, you speak in your mouth. Oh, but I feel that somebody has had something, an intention in his heart, he has to fulfill it. And the Gemara brings, it's not the Gemara, it's a Medrash, it brings the story of Rav Safra. And Rav Safra was selling a certain object, and a guy came to buy it, and he said, "You wanted to sell it for £10? Okay, I'm happy to pay. Over Rav Safra was davening, he was saying the Shema, and we couldn't answer him. The buyer, the Gentile, thought it's too low, say up the price. Basically, by the time Rav Safra called the Shema, he was kimat double the price. And Rav Safra finished Shema, he said, "Okay, I'm happy to sell." So he pulls out the high money to pay, the double the price. And says, "No, I want the original price." So he says, "So what's going on over here? Why didn't you answer me?" Rav Safra said, "When you offered me the first offer, in my heart, I'd already accepted. I couldn't tell you because I was davening. I will not change." And he made a massive Kiddush Hashem. By the way, there's something going on today about this guy he found in a table, and if you saw $90,000. Mamish Hazai made a Kiddush Hashem, unbelievable Kiddush Hashem. Oh, but the Gemara says that is what Dark Echsidim, a person who wants to be pious, says, Chosid and Chosid in Koine, a person should honor even commitments that he made in his heart. Although it's important to note that when it comes to this Indian of Dark Echsidim, there's three exceptions when you don't have to honor, you don't have to act upon what you thought. And it's a diukim. If you look in Shulchan Aruch Harab, he says as follows: number one, there has to be choshav v'gomar beliboy, which means if I'm sitting at shul and somebody says Ali, and a thought crosses my mind to buy something for £50, and I say, "One second, you know, I don't." Just because a thought crossed your mind, if you had a thought you're going to help somebody or whatever, a flash in your mind does not mean that you have to fulfill. It has to be something that person's thought about. It has to be something the person's contemplated and made a strong decision within, this is what I'm going to do. Only then he has to fulfill the thoughts of his mind. Number two, yesh biyodoy lashish tova. The lashon of Shulchan Aruch is, if a person makes a commitment in his heart, and he can actually do it. If it's something which is too big for him, and then when he actually comes, halacha lemaaseh, he sees it's way too much, then he also doesn't have to do it, it's only in his heart. And number three, it's very important, you only have to fulfill the thoughts of your heart if it's la'achirim. Which means if I say I'm going to do something for somebody else, and you've thought about it hard, and yesh biyoda, and you can afford it, v'chosha v'gomar, then you should do it. But if it's for yourself, you're allowed to change it. There's no problem. You know, we can't, it would be unfair to finish without mentioning the next 2 points, which is what you said about Bili Neda. All we've spoken to about up until now is when a person makes a commitment, Bili Shavua. I said, oh, but I didn't make a Shavua. If a person accompanies his commitment with a Shavua, then it's even stronger than a Kenyan. Nishtovas to Redden, there's nothing to talk about. You have to fulfill your words. You've made an oath. No Kenyan, no Maise, nothing. Shavua is the strongest thing. If a person makes a commitment and he says, I'm making an oath, he has to do it. And why? Because it's no more Bin Adam. It moves from the realm of Bin Adam Lechaveroi to a new realm called Bin Adam Lamakim. It's now between you and Hashem, and you have to do it. And that is why when we make commitments, we say Bali Neder. The Bali Neder is to take away the fact that it shouldn't be Bin Adam Lamakim. That I'm not committed now to Hashem. But it doesn't take away from the fact that Halacha says that if a person says something, he's got to do it. The halacha that we mentions, that a person doesn't do what he says, whether he said Bli Neder or he didn't say Bli Neder, doesn't apply. The fact that you said you got to do it, the Bli Neder is only to take us away from Chas V'Shalom committing a grave sin against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a very important point to note. So that's why a person has to be so careful. That's why we always have to say Bli Neder. Many times if a person says something, it could come out Ibelosh in Shavuah. Not always. Many times you say something and it's not a Shavuah. Okay. But there's sometimes words that we don't know, which is Lashon Shavuah, and could be we're getting ourselves into a right mess. So therefore, from a Yidden, accustomed to say Bali Neida. And that brings us to the halacha, which the Gemara in the Dorim Dav Ches Amud Aleph says, that if a person says, takes upon himself a commitment of a mitzvah, ha'omer, ashkin ve'ekra, the person says, I'll wake up and I'll daven and I'll learn, v'chulu, the Gemara says that when a person takes on a mitzvah, even without saying it's a neder, it's a neder. And you can't say Bali neder. You mamish got to say Bali neder. Otherwise, a mitzvah is kemoy neder. I don't even know if saying Bali neder would apply. Because a mitzvah is a neder. It's like saying, I'm making a neder, Bali neder. So doing a mitzvah is a neder, godel elikov. And therefore, if a person says, I'm going to do something, which is a mitzvah, the person has to do it. That is a commitment that a person can't go back. And therefore, for example, if a person says, I'm going to give a matana to a poor person, before we said, if it's a matana merubah, lo samcha daito. But if it's a poor person, then it's a mitzvah, and maybe it falls under the union of a neder, and regardless of lo samcha daito, you still need to fulfill it. So now we can answer, we started off with some questions at the beginning. The questions that we started off were, what happens when a person, for example, says, I'm going to be a lawyer, etc., for a certain charity, and then he says, you know what, I can't do this time for free, I need to go and work and make money. So he hasn't done a kinyan, and therefore Chachamim won't force him to do it. He hasn't even done a maise. Of a royal amud b'dibura, it definitely would apply. A person, a lawyer, has to do it. We spoke about this, and the same would apply with a house. If a person says, I'm going to buy a house, again, this would depend. If a person's done a maise, let's say he shook hands with the agent or with the owner, then he has a problem over here because he'll get mishipara. But on the other hand, there might be drastic things that change. The prices of houses may shoot up or go down. Then there's no problem. Even if you halacha wise for making a commitment, you have to take all these things into account. The same thing would be with making a commitment for buying a jewelry. Usually, definitely chachamim won't enact it. Why? Because there was no kinyan. If a person did a maisa, there wasn't mishapara. Again, we need to take into account if there were drastic changes. Person says, I'm going to help you move house. And then he wants to change his mind. What would be the din? So Chachamim wouldn't enforce it. It wouldn't be mishapara because there was no maisa. Oberoi lamed b'dibur would definitely apply. We mentioned in the final question, we said, what about inshul? You make a commitment. Although all the first don't apply, but it's a mitzvah. There is another neder elikov, and you have to do it. You can't renege, you can't go back on it. So we conclude with the fact that every Shabbos when we read the Haftarah, we end up with the brachas and we say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ne'emon, what's the Lashon over there? Ome v'Yisra, Shekod Vor Emet, what's the? Shekod Vor Emet, etc. V'Kayim La'ad, and we mention these verses, we mention these words, how important it is that we know that if Hashem wants us to fulfill our words, then we know for sure that He's going to fulfill His words. And therefore, always promised us that It's going to be a better time. Yarchiv Hashem Elikeches Gvulcha, which talks about Mashiach times. Oz Yashem Moshe, the time that Moshe will come back. Tchias Amesim, all these things. Naaman, we're for sure, we know that Hashem will fulfill His word, and that's what gives us comfort. May Hashem fulfilling His words happen very speedily in our days, and we'll all go to Yerushalayim, Merakadosh, and Meir, Amir, Amir.